Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound rolls of juicy 80% lean ground beef for $3.49 a pound with a digital coupon. Then get select varieties of flavorful Powerade, Body Armor Super Drink, or Arizona Tea for 77 cents each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Good morning, everybody. I just told my guests that this coffee is extremely hot, and it is. I cut the roof of my mouth last night when my wife and I were eating tacos and margaritas, but you didn't hear me. You guys aren't here today to listen to me talk about tacos and margaritas. Maybe you are. I don't know. Anyways, good morning. It is a snowy motherfucker here in Pennsylvania. I know I'm not supposed to swear in the first minute, but here we are. We're going to be talking about heavy metal today with a guest that was on a while back, and I really enjoyed the conversation, and he does a lot to help out this show, and of course, I really appreciate that as well. So make sure you hit all the links below to figure out what I got going on. Go to Tiger Fitness for your supplements, LMNT for your electrolytes, which I currently have the chocolate electrolytes with a little sugar-free hazelnut creamer in my coffee, which you know is Fox & Sons coffee. Of course, we'll be talking about that a little bit too as well, I'm sure. So yeah, hit all that stuff below. If you go to Fox & Sons Coffee, which you absolutely should, make sure you use code Kyle at checkout for a little bit of a discount. Let Steve know I sent you. And I guess with that, let's rock and roll.
What is up, everybody? My name is Kyle Matovic. I am the host of the In Liberty and Health podcast, where we talk all things liberty, health and wellness, and beyond. My hope is to encourage and spread the message of liberty and physical and mental well-being. I hope you enjoy all the topics we talk about with our guests. We're on all major streaming platforms, so please sit back, relax, and enjoy.
Man, I'm doing as good as anyone can do getting buried by his 13-year-old son on leg day.
I'm not going to apologize for not being on this podcast because I got to go see Metallica. So if that's a problem, kiss my ass.
Okay? I am.
All right.
One more time. Good morning, everybody. Steve, how you doing, man?
Hey, what's up, man?
No, nothing. My understanding is you had a little bit rougher of a morning than I did. I went for a 520-pound... No, was it 525 on my deadlift? It did quite come up. I got 515 off the ground, but 525 is just a little bit too much for me. But it seems like your morning up in Michigan's going a little bit worse.
Oh, it's so cold here. It's 13. I think it's like 8 or 5 or something like that with the wind chill. And we got about a foot of snow in the last day or day and a half-ish. Mm-hmm. So everything, literally everything's shut down in West Michigan right now. Nothing's going on.
You know, I would have imagined the folk of Michigan probably wouldn't shut down their Sunday morning church over a little bit of white stuff, but I guess I was wrong.
Yeah, you can't see. Like, I drove up this morning up to our church just to check on everything, and it was like I couldn't see more than a quarter block. Like, it was bad. It was bad. It was just couldn't see that far, and the roads were okay. Like, nothing. I've driven on worse, but sure. it was pretty bad. So
yeah. So do you live near a lake in Michigan? I can't remember.
Yeah. I'm like right. Oh. I'm probably 20 minutes from Lake Michigan. We get hit lot worse because we're in that snow belt. So. I've driven, sometimes it's funny because I've driven like 5 minutes away from our house and it's been like bright and sunny and gorgeous. And then like by our house, it's like dark and snowy for like 3 weeks or a month. It's like living in a snow globe.
Yeah, well, I mean, at least you don't get like the shaking up part of the snow globe if you catch my drift.
Sometimes.
That's more out west. Oh, really?
Ugh, it's bad. Yeah, we used to live closer to the lake and there was a week we got, I want to say it was like 6 to 8 feet and like nothing ever made the news just because it's normal out here. Like,
holy shit.
You know, New York gets like a foot and everybody freaks out and they die. Yeah. But like, you know, and we got like, it was New York, like 2 feet on Monday. It was a couple feet Wednesday and a couple feet on or like another foot or so on Friday. But again, you drove 20 minutes east of us and a couple inches. It was crazy.
Holy crap. Well, I mean, the only thing I could think of in comparison to that, I mean, I live by like the Kiskeminitis River, but it's not very wide. Like it's probably about as wide as like a 4-lane highway. So it's not really that wide. But when I lived in Cleveland, I lived near Lake Erie, probably like 20 miles away. But like the closer you would get, the worse and worse it would get. Mm-hmm. One thing that kind of you saying that like the difference between where you are and even just going like 15, 20 minutes away is like when I leave my house, I live in a small town called Vandegrift. And then I work in a city called Greensburg, and it's about a 40-45 minute drive for me to get to work. And the difference, sometimes there will be no snow here at my house, but then I'll get out there and the cars will be covered in snow.
Okay. yeah it's crazy. It's like in Detroit where I grew up, we would get snow once in a while, but not massive amounts like here. The first couple years was really hard to get used to living out in West Michigan. So
I always say that, like, if I could, or a lot of our mutual friends would probably tell us, oh, just move to New Hampshire, right? Move to New Hampshire. It's the freest state in the entire country. I'm like, listen, if I'm fucking moving.
Also the coldest state.
if I'm moving, I am never, ever picking up a fucking snow shovel again. Because, like, Pennsylvania is dirt cheap to live in. If I'm making the fucking move, it's no snow. No fucking snow.
we're definitely on the trajectory to move like either southwest or just south of us. Like Alabama sounds pretty good right about now.
Every single time I
go hang out with Pete.
Every single time the temperature drops below like 30 degrees, I'm like, how are those flights to Florida looking right now? Because like sometimes you could get a flight to Florida from Pittsburgh for like 50, 60 bucks per person. So like
Tony, Daytona is really nice this time of year.
Oh my God. Yeah. I mean, my wife and I, when I want to say it was 2021 and 2022, we went to Florida probably like 7 or 8 times in that year and a half. Oh, it was fantastic. But now her work schedule, because she's an EMT, she works on Sundays. So like today, I do these Sunday morning podcasts because she works a 24-hour shift. So she works 8 in the morning on Sunday till 8 in the morning on Monday. Oh, so this is kind of like, this is kind of like my day to just enjoy my time by myself. Yeah. And, you know, obviously it's not like I, you know, wouldn't want to spend time with my wife if she was home. But you know, I get to do all the shit I want to do around the house. I get to relax. I get to hang with the dogs, play games, do shit around the house. Like today, my project's going to be cleaning black mold in the basement because we had like some containers and shit. And, you know, every single basement you're ever going to have, especially if you live up like where we live, you're never going to get all the water out of it. There's going to be some moisture in there no matter what.
Yeah.
So we had some containers in the basement and I guess a little bit of water got underneath of them and we didn't move them for a long time. So when we finally moved, I'm like, oh, we disturbed the slumber of all the mold. Now the whole fucking basement stinks. So, I got my N95 mask, white vinegar, baking soda, all this shit ready to go. And I'm going to go kind of go for bears a little bit later on today.
Get some bleach out. Fun.
Yeah.
It's going to be that's how it is out here, too. You get the same thing out here. So.
Kind of back to an earlier point. Yeah, dude, if I could never have to deal with snow again, my life would be so good. We were looking at houses down in Florida and it's like triple the price and right now triple the interest rate.
Well, the insurance too. Property. The insurance is almost my sister. Well, the reason we go down to the Daytona area is my sister has a condo down there. We go to that condo once every other year ish. But her insurance on the place went up like 10 or like 6 times, I think she said. It's it's insane what their insurance is. Cool. So it's, and everybody down there is dealing with that. So thanks to some the peaceful riots in 2020, everything all over
the most peaceful protests.
Yeah,
so I didn't think Florida got hit that hard by the mostly peaceful protests, but
it's with Florida, it's a lot more of the insurance fraud and insurance scams. Like, you know, you get one shingle off your roof and they're claiming like they need a whole new roof. So it's a lot of that stuff too.
Yeah, well, like, so when my wife and I got married in November 2022, we rented out an Airbnb, and I mean, it was beautiful. I want to say there were two bedrooms, two full bathrooms, and it had like a pool out back, and then literally like a little dock that you could go out. I want to say it was like $1,300 or $1,400 for like 2 or 3 days. It was gorgeous, don't get me wrong, but like,
yeah,
it was a lot of fucking money.
Yeah. It's not
why
cheap,
are you
man.
Up so yeah, why are you up so early and you have the bean slinger on too from Jay Forte? I know you you do the morning after with him and Justin,
yeah,
huh?
Yeah, Jay's on there. You know, we're on there once in a while. Friday didn't go as planned. Nobody showed up, so I ended the stream way early.
Yeah, I got you, man.
I'm not a solo artist when we did
that one. So. Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of surprised that I have a showing sometimes when I do my solo podcast, but usually I'm like ready to go for all sorts of just bullshit and people listen to me ramble on for about an hour. That's kind of what my 2023 year end stream was. Listen, I am up on Sundays, especially because like 4:30 in the morning on Sunday, right? Get up, go downstairs, make breakfast, go to the gym. And like, that's my me time. I spend usually about like 2.5 hours in the gym on Sunday morning, and then usually come home, get my wife's car running and clean all that shit off so that we can go to work. And then like the rest of the day is just like my kumbaya day, unless my wife is home, which she is every other week. But like Sundays are just my fucking days, man. I love Sundays. And like Mondays when I'm off, really, really happy too. So like, this is just like what I love to do, is just to be right here in front of this screen.
Sundays are nice, man. Usually I'm up pretty early. I go open up the church and get everything ready for our church service. And
but, well, I mean, that's gonna be really, really nice.
It's nice, man. It's nice to be able to get up and, you know, have a place to myself for a little bit, and I enjoy that.
Yeah, it was
kind of cooped up in the house. Sorry, we kind of cooped up in the house yesterday and today. We purposely didn't go anywhere yesterday, and so I'm like, kind of getting a little antsy right now. I want to go out and do something, but I don't want to go outside. So,
oh no, dude, I completely get that. my friend Ryan Stone, who's probably one of my favorite personalities on Twitter, was talking about some guys doing like polyamory or something like that. He's like, listen, that time in the morning from 6 till noon. It's like my me time. He's like, I couldn't imagine having another woman to worry about. So like, I'm good with this. And I'm like the same exact way. I'm like, listen, I already got one in the other room. And like, look, I love my wife dearly, but like, I know how other women can be. What one is enough for me?
That'd be torture. That'd be absolute torture.
Like, could you imagine having to deal with another fucking woman 24/7? Come on. One's enough.
Oh, my head would hurt.
Yeah. Well, you got, how many kids do you have? I know
two.
You have a son.
Two boys.
Two?
Yeah,
okay.
Two boys.
Yeah. I feel like. 16. Okay. So they're probably still in the midst of being rebellious assholes, or, you know.
No, they're actually, okay, they're really good kids. They're awesome. Actually really good kids. Yeah. I don't have we don't have any issues with them. Like, they're not out partying and doing stupid stuff. I mean, they're dumbasses sometimes, but they're not doing stupid stuff. So.
I mean, that's part of being a teenager.
Yeah. Yeah, well, like I told my younger one this morning, or my older one, I'm like, you know, get dressed and get outside and let's start clearing stuff off. Mm-hmm. And like 20 minutes, about a half hour later, he comes out. I'm like, better get shoveling, man. He's wearing shorts. I'm like, I told you. He's like, what do you want me to do? I'm like, do you not see all the white stuff literally everywhere? What do you mean, what do I want you to do? Like, it's just, yeah. So that's what I deal with mainly, is just kind of dumbassery once in a while, but they're actually really, really good kids.
Oh, that's awesome.
Very
fortunate. I know.
My wife did a good job raising them.
Nice. Yeah. My wife and I are, I think we're going to have girls. I don't want it to be girls. I'd rather have one boy, one girl, but, something's telling me, I'm like, I think I'm probably good. Like, our second kid is probably going to be a girl. I'm going to hope it's going to be a boy, but I feel like I'm going to get cursed with, two girls. My dad has two girls and three boys. And right now my wife and I are the only two of like my whole family tree that are like planning to have kids and want to have kids. My older brother, you know, him and his wife or girlfriend don't want to have any. And then like my stepbrothers, they're indifferent. And my younger siblings are, I don't know, it's very weird because there's three different moms in the situation with my dad, but like my younger siblings are a little bit more, I don't want to say pampered, but they didn't, I don't think they're progressive, but I think they're just more like, never really had to struggle. Like me and my brother, I don't want to say had it rough, but like, you know, we're both kind of blue collar dudes and we're both very, very libertarian. Both of them are going to college and stuff and have like all these other plans. So, you know, we're in like a completely different worlds there.
Yeah. We're just like, I don't know. My sister, I have one sister and we're very, very night and day different. Like we're both pretty conservative ish. I mean, I'm way more than she is. Like,
sure.
I think she's too liberal on some stuff, but we're just night and day different. So, like, well, you couldn't be any more different.
Yeah. So, when it comes to your kids, I know you take them sometimes to concerts with you. I think the one picture I saw of you, it was you and I don't know which kid, but
Zachary. Zach.
Yeah, you guys went to go see Demon Hunter together. I
think that was a great show.
Nice. So I've never seen Demon Hunter live. How were they?
They are one of the best bands I've ever seen live. Like, they're so solid. Like, just beyond solid. They were, I saw them 20 years ago when they come out with their first album.
Oh, I love that album too.
Yeah. Such a great, so raw. I saw them at that first time out and they were just absolutely amazing. I've seen them three other times. So four all together, and every time has been just phenomenal. Like they put on such a good show. They play forever. Just super respectful and thankful for their crowds. Like they're never just jerks on stage. They're just always so amazing on stage. And afterwards I've talked to them a couple times. They're just super cool, down to earth people. Funny thing is they hate touring. Like they don't like touring at all because it's time away from the families and stuff, and they all live apart now. They don't live in the same area anymore,
and so it's a pain in the ass for them to get together.
Yeah, it's really hard for them to tour.
They're like a Christian band that's not explicitly Christian. And you know what's funny is that, like, as much as I may complain about religious people being a little too zealous sometimes, it's funny how much I absolutely fucking love Christian metal. Like, War of Ages, For Today, Demon Hunter. Like, they are – love those fucking – they're so fucking good. And like War of Ages a little bit earlier on was like a lot more Christian, like their music, their lyrics were a lot more like Christian focused. Like they would have Bible verses on, I think it was their third album. I can't remember what it's called, but it was 2005 with All Consuming Fire. But like they really had Bible verses, some of the songs. And I'm like, this stuff is just so fucking good. And then For Today,
they would literally do like sermons. You ever listen to Wolves of the Gate?
Oh, love them. They're so fucking good. Yeah.
They're great. And August Burns Red comes out of that as well. So August Burns Red is the one band I love musically. Mm-hmm. I hate their vocals. Like, I can't listen to them because of their vocals. Sure. But their Christmas album is one of the best Christmas albums ever made.
You know what's funny? I think I've seen that stuff a lot. So, like, I've never really listened to August Burns Red. I feel like I would really like them, but I just never went out of my way to check them out. And that's, like...
phenomenal guitar.
Yeah, there's so many bands that are kind of like that for me. And then I check them out. I'm like, why did I not like listen to these guys here? It was like Mastodon and Gojira were like the same way for me. And I checked them out. I'm like, oh, these guys are like fucking amazing. And then like they never leave the playlist.
Yeah. It's like there's so many bands out there. It's hard to pick certain
stuff. Hard to get all of it. Yeah. Xmas music sucks no matter who does it.
No, you got to listen to that. You have to listen to that album. Just Google it. It's August Burns Red. It's their Christmas album. It's the guitar in it is absolutely phenomenal. It's just fun.
I know Zach Wilde did I think he had an EP where he did some Christmas songs, but I think they were mostly instrumental if I remember correctly. But like that early 2000s to like I want to say 2012-ish metalcore is probably like some of my favorite music. So like they called it like the new wave of American heavy metal. So you had like your first wave, kind of like Lamb of God, Killswitch Engage, Trivium, Shadows Fall. I don't know if I said All That Remains, but like all those kind of bands, God Forbid, would be like your first wave. And they came out like 98 and they peaked, I want to say probably around like 2005. And then you had more like some of the bands that we're talking about now, War of Ages, August Burns Red, Motionless in White, they were a little bit later, but like some of those bands kind of like that, Veil of Maya, bands like that were kind of like the second wave from like 2005 to 2012. And like still all these bands are still relevant today, but like the height, I feel like for them, like the height of their hype and like where I think they were the best is probably like that 2000 to 2010 area. Because like now there's no bands out there who are doing the same kind of thing as raw as they were from like that specific 10 year time. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I was never really into that, like the metal core stuff, like the
sure.
I mean, it's a lot of it's the vocals for me. Musically it's great, it's just the vocals. Gotcha, I can't do like Demon Hunter is probably the deepest vocals I can go. Living Sacrifice is pretty heavy stuff too. They're another Christian band that was, they came out early mid 80s maybe, early 90s when they came out, and they were like really, really super raw. And then their one singer left, and they got another, their one of the guitar players took over singing, and it just completely changed vocally. Some of that stuff, and plus, right now, I'm in a weird spot. I've been listening to a lot of like 80s, 90s metal, like Iron Maiden. I discovered a Black Sabbath album that was, I've never heard before, that I think is one of their best albums.
Tony Martin, I think it was. He was their singer in the 90s, right?
Let me see. I have it right here. Mm-hmm. It's a dude from Deep Purple. I can't remember his name. I swear
that was
Glenn something.
For Sabbath in the 90s. I swear that was Tony Martin.
Seventh Star is the name of the album that I was talking about. That is just, it's bluesy, it's weird, it doesn't sound like Sabbath at all.
Yeah, Tony, heavy metal vocalist, Tony Martin, and that was 1987 to 1990. Dio Rejoins for Dehumanizer, that was 90 to 92.
This album came out in 86.
Oh, 86. I gotcha. So
it was that before. I think this is a guy from Deep Purple.
Oh, Hughes.
Glenn?
Vocalist Ian Gillan left Black Sabbath to rejoin Deep Purple. Where the hell is it? Both Wards. See, I feel like I should know this, but I'm mostly familiar with Sabbath from like 1970 to like 1989.
The Ozzy years.
Like 1985. Yeah. Ozzy and Dio. Ian Gillan. Wow, I didn't realize they had that many singers.
They had a lot of singers.
I really only knew it was like Ozzy, Dio, and Tony Martin. I didn't know that there was actually like all this other stuff.
Yeah, and every album is different from the other stuff. Like the Ozzy years are completely different from the Dio years.
You know what the best part about that is? Like Tony Iommi is like such a just fucking talented dude. For a dude that has like two fingers that are partially shaved off from that whole accident, but like to think about like the depth of music that he's written in like fucking 50 years from the fucking 60s all the way to 2013.
30 albums.
Oh, some fucking Ish. Ridiculous.
But like that album, the seventh and Seventh Star, I think is what it is.
I'm thinking of like the Seventh Sin of a Seventh Son. That's an Iron Maiden.
Yeah, no, that's Iron Maiden. Yeah. no, this is, I think it's Seventh Star. Let me look it up real quick on my phone.
Yeah.
But yeah, that one is just, it's such a good album. It's so different from anything. I didn't realize it was Sabbath at first. And the only reason I found it was, Seventh Star. The only reason I found that album is somebody, they were talking on a Black Sabbath page that I'm on, and they were saying that they're going to re-release that in vinyl, so I was super geeked.
Okay.
So I looked it up, and I was like, oh, cool, because it's something that you never hear is that album, and it's so different. Yeah, it's so different from any other Sabbath album I've ever heard. Mm-hmm. So, and the guy that's singing, the guy that's singing reminded me of there's an old Christian band called Resurrection Band, old Christian rock stuff, and the vocals really reminded me of that singer. Mm-hmm. So
like when you say bluesy, usually like my default thing when people say like bluesy in reference to metal, I typically immediately think like stoner metal. So like we're talking Corrosion of Conformity, maybe a little bit of I Hate God, Superjoint Ritual, shit like that. Even though Superjoint's not necessarily like stoner metal, Down even. Is it kind of like that, or is it a little bit more like doomy?
It's, I don't know, man. You gotta listen to it. It's just got like a bluesy feel to it. It's got it's different from anything else they've ever produced. Other than the other guy I mentioned, Glenn Kaiser and Rez Band, I can't think of what else it would be that kind of style. Like mid 80s, just heavy, but it's still got that bluesy riff. His vocals are really, really raw, really rough. So
how are you on Motorhead?
Can't get into them.
Okay.
And now I need to check them out again, but the last time I checked them out. But right now, I think where I'm at phase-wise of music, I think I might actually get into them. But like, I haven't listened to them in forever.
Sure. So like the only reason why I bring that up, it's kind of funny. What got me into Motorhead, and it wasn't like I ever, Lemmy does rule. I saw Motorhead actually, I want to say the year before Lemmy died. He was looking pretty rough on stage, but I listened to Jared James Nichols, who's like he doesn't use a pick when he plays guitar, and he also sings and plays. And he's like a bluesy rock artist today, and his music's so fucking good. I think he has like 2 or 3 albums out now. Really, really good stuff. I was listening to a playlist on Spotify, and Phil Campbell and the Bastard Sons came up, and I had no idea who they were. And I started listening. I'm like, wow, this is really fucking good. And then my brother and I, when we were going to the anti-war protest last year, we were going down to DC, and my brother was playing this video by Razor Fist, and he was talking about like the history of Motorhead, and he mentioned, oh yeah, Phil Campbell played for Motorhead, and like I kind of knew that, but I didn't know for like how long. I was like, okay, well that's really cool. So like I listened to, you know, lots of Motorhead again, and then I started listening to all the Phil Campbell and the Bastard Sons stuff. If you get a chance, check out Phil Campbell and the Bastard Sons. It's super like bluesy and real like really good rock with like a little bit more of like a modern day vocalist, and you'll understand what I mean when you listen to it. But it's so fucking good. Their newest album just came out, I want to say, maybe like a month or two ago. And the title track, or not the title track, but the first track off it, Walking in Circles, it's just like fucking right in my veins. I just want to like go throw shit and run. What else, dude? It's fucking awesome. And then I think they have...
They just came out with an EP first.
Oh, dude, they're so good. But like, it's cool because Phil Campbell has like that loud... you know, rock and roll fucking style of writing, and it's a little bit more modern, so the guitar tones are a little bit punchier, and it doesn't have like all this ancillary overproduced stuff in it like a lot of the metalcore that I listen to now is. But like, you know, if you're listening to a rock song, you want to listen to a rock song. If you listen to something like heavy beat down, you're going to listen to something more like what I've been listening to a lot lately. But like, you know, if you want to hear rock, you're going to listen to Clutch. If you want to hear, you know, deathcore, you're going to listen to Whitechapel, right? Like, yeah. It just depends on what you're looking for. But, like, if you're looking for, like, rock stuff that's a little bit more current, Crobot, Clutch, Crobot's fantastic.
Where would you say Chevelle fits in? What style are they? Have you listened to any of their new stuff?
Their new stuff's really good. Like, it's so heavy. Good.
Some of the best guitar like tones. Metal. Like, they have amazing guitar tones.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know what I really like about them is that they're, like, a three-piece... And like they're in like a very unique spot, because at first I did not like them at all, but then like I heard, I want to say it was Face to the Floor or Hats Off to the Bull when I was working for my dad back in like 2012, and I'm like, I gotta give these guys another shot. And I started listening to them again. I'm like, these guys are just, they're so talented. And it's, I would say they're more like the alternative metal, kind of like almost the same spot where like I would put a Common Crown, because they're heavy in the same way.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, like they came from like that late 90s, early 2000s kind of rock scene with like Crossfade and Trapped. But like they're heavy and they're heavy for like that kind of genre. And like I said, it's really unique because they're a three piece and it really focused on like the tightness of the band. And they're just like, I say they're like a really good band in terms of like how you would say Alice in Chains is a really good band where they just make really good fucking music. It's not like it's incredibly technical. It's just like, this is a very, very enjoyable song where like, well, good.
Jerry Cantrell, man, the guy is absolutely out of this world amazing. Like,
right. And you know what's funny is that he's not like Rusty Cooley, right? Like, if you listen to Rusty Cooley, he's one of the fastest to fucking most intricate guitar players out there. Fucking Jerry Cantrell is amazing because he can write a fucking incredible song.
Yeah. Yeah. And he's just, I mean, yeah, when you're going into that kind of stuff, like Alice in Chains, I love them. Some of their stuff's way too depressing, but I really, really love it. So, did you listen to that show with Pete and, I can't remember the other guy's name. They did a show about music around Christmas. It was really well done. Like, it was a good one too.
I gotta listen to it now.
You have to. Cause Pete's tastes are really, he has some good stuff. I don't think he understands it, but he turned me on to Overkill. Like, Overkill is so good.
Yes.
They're amazing. The stuff they're putting out today is just as good as anything else out there.
Get a chance, you need to check out, I think it's BPMD, it's called. So, like, Phil Demmel, Bobby Blotzer from Overkill, the drummer from Dream Theater, not Mike Mangini, the other one, Mike Portnoy. Then I forget their bass player's name, but basically they came together and they did a whole bunch of like classic rock covers. They did like Beer Drinkers and Hellraisers, Toys in the Attic. I'm trying to remember what other songs, but like the album's so good. They recorded it in 2020, but yeah, it's fucking killer. And it's all Bobby Blotzer is the singer, and then Phil Demmel from Machine Head on guitar. So, I mean, it's like super fucking punchy killer tone with fucking Bobby Blotzer's vocals, which like, he's like, I feel like he's just like a very, very soft acquired taste. Like at first you may be like, I don't know. But then like, once you get over that, you're like, yeah, this is awesome.
Yeah. There's a store out by me that has like three or four vinyls of Overkill on. I need to go buy those. Like, I really need to go get some of those.
Yeah, so like I think I need to go back and listen to like all the late 70s and 80s thrash and death metal. So like I need to listen to all the death records because those are awesome, especially their first album. Fucking amazing. A lot of the early Overkill stuff, I'm kind of familiar with it, but not familiar enough. Like Morbid Angel, some of that stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Back then, was it Death Angel was pretty big. Yeah. Testament has some good stuff too.
Oh my god. Well, you know what's funny is that like Testament, they're one of the most interesting bands to me because like Chuck Billy is like one of the I'm into thrash metal, but like I need to know more. Like obviously, you know, I know all the big ones, but like I should know more. But like Testament, I feel like is like the sleeper of all thrash metal. Cause like Billy Chuck is like still he's like a truck driver to this day, but like their newer stuff is so fucking good. Their old stuff fucking killer. Like Sins of Omission is probably one of my favorite songs of all time. And like, just Billy Chuck has always had that fucking bellow that just could like shake the fucking earth.
Yeah. Their stuff's great. I don't know. Like, I don't know their stuff. Like, I know other bands, but I do appreciate them. I do like them. I've listened to them a couple times recently again. Mm-hmm. So, but my music, I mean, like I'm literally all over the board musically. Like it's not just metal for me. Like I can go from metal to Johnny Cash to Beastie Boys. So I know some of the guys' favorite band on the podcast we do in the morning is U2. So listen to I really like U2. They give me crap for liking U2. Yeah.
Steve, U2 has good taste in music. Disregard is it U2. He saw it. Well, you know what's funny is that I actually really like some country. So like Cody Jinks, I think is really good. And people will probably knock me for this, but like Brad Paisley is fucking amazing. Like people don't understand how good that dude is on guitar. Like they literally call him like the Eddie Van Halen of country.
got to be like old country. It's got to be, you know, Hank Williams Sr. or Cash or stuff like that is the stuff. Merle Haggard, like that's the kind of stuff that I enjoy. The what was the band those guys did together? I can't think of the name of it. Highwaymen, they were great. Yeah, check out some of their stuff. There was so much fun. Like, there's a couple live shows of them that are really, really, really good. But like newer country, I just can't do
the hip hop like, stuff. I people who know me personally know that I would. How do I put this kindly without getting banned off YouTube? Let's just say if the world was rid of Upchurch and his ilk, the world I think would be a lot better of a place. Like, I cannot stand that shit.
If you listen to is it Colton? I can't think of his last name. He does a song called Kate McKinnon, and it's phenomenal.
I'll have to look it up. Some people might consider Aaron Lewis a little bit like a shittier Colton new country, Wall. Colton Wall?
Yeah, he's got two amazing songs, Kate McKinnon and The Devil Wears a Suit and Tie.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Okay, I'll have to look.
The Devil Wears a Suit and Tie is probably the most libertarian song I've ever listened to.
Did you ever listen to Rebel Meets Rebel?
No.
Oh, no way. So are you a fan of David Allan Coe?
I don't know.
David Allan Coe.
What band?
No, like the David Allan Coe. Like
I know, but what singer. Band? Oh, no. No, I don't know. I don't know country music hardly at all. Although I do have a great story for you about country music. When I was living in Nashville, I was photographing. Did I tell you this one before?
No, I don't think.
Okay, I got hired to photograph for there was a studio called Curb Records was selling to another or some studio. It was a studio and they were selling it to I think Curb Records, I'm not sure. And I got hired to go in and photograph a party that they were doing, and so I'm sitting there talking to the one guy who this guy recorded like all the original recordings for country stuff, so all the singer songwriters would go into his place, record, and then they would sell it to the studios. Well, he stops me, I'm photographing, he stops me and he's like, hey, I want you to meet somebody. He introduces me, and I was like, and he goes, you ever heard that song, Friends in Low Places? And I was like, yeah, I don't like it. I don't listen to country at all. I'm not a big fan of it. And he goes, well, he wrote it. And I was like, oh, shit. I was like, oh, it was probably, I never got hired to go back into that studio to shoot anything. So,
oops.
Yeah. So, that's my country music story. I lived in Nashville for 2 years, and I was trying to get break into the Christian music industry to shoot.
Yeah.
But yeah, never didn't materialize. But
nah, man, yeah, that kind of sucks. It kind of pays off to bite your tongue every here and there. And look, I
learned that lesson guilty. The hard way. I learned that lesson the hard way.
Completely guilty. I have a problem shutting the fuck up too. So I completely get it.
Yep.
The point about David Alco is he actually did he did an album with the guys from Pantera in the 90s where he sang on all of it, but it was like, you know, Dime, Vinny, and Rex wrote the rest of the music. It was really, really interesting.
Okay.
So yeah, if you get a chance, check it out.
Rebel, I know you're a big Rebel. Pantera fan. I am not.
Yes.
I am not. I like they're good. I know that they're good. I know they're talented.
Yeah.
I just not a fan. It's like I don't understand Metallica either. Like,
yeah, well, like for me, Pantera was like no band has ever come close in my mind to just the raw fucking intensity that Pantera had. Like, if you watched the live videos And even like Far Beyond Driven, there is no way you can't listen to that record front to back and just don't envision yourself or Phil Anselmo fucking headbutting through a brick wall. Like, that is the way that album is to me. Like, yeah. And Feeling No Pain either. So like, it's just the raw fucking intensity. It's kind of like the same energy that some like the early 80s thrash metal had, but just Pantera had like this fucking gut punch, heavy shit back in the 90s. And like, in the 90s, you know, Metallica sold out, quote unquote, even though I like a lot of stuff from the 90s from Metallica. But like, to write one of the heaviest albums ever in 1994, Far Beyond Driven, and then top the charts, number one in 1994, writing a fucking record like Far Beyond Driven, it's mind boggling to me. So that's why, like, every bit of hype Pantera gets, they deserve. They fucking earned it.
They're great. They're phenomenal band. I just, it's one of those bands, it's like I've listened to, I've tried to like them.
Yeah.
I just can't. Like, well, Metallica too. Like, and this is very unpopular opinion. The only album by Metallica I like and will listen to on a regular basis is going to be Injustice for All.
No, I love that album. That's probably my favorite.
I think that album is probably their best written album ever.
Sure.
I think it has the most, it just has the most feeling in it, if you will. But like the recording on it's wretched. Absolutely the worst recording that they've ever done too. So
yeah, I remember listening to a someone updated Injustice for All, and I think they did Blackened, and they put bass into it. And I was like, holy fuck, this is like a world's difference. But yeah, I would agree with like the songwriting and everything. Like, I absolutely love all the songs on that album.
Yeah. And then I don't know what happened to them after that. Like, they completely died after that. I don't know.
Like, yeah, I mean, I understand and can respect the criticisms of Metallica in the 90s, but like, me as a big blues guy too, I loved Load and Reload. People are gonna fucking knock me for that, but like, Load, I think, just had some really, really cool riffs. And like, James Hetfield, I think, has a good voice. That James was 2000. Yeah. Death Magnetic, I want to say, was 2007 that
it came I thought out. That was kind of a throwback to Injustice for All musically. It felt like it kind of felt like that.
Kind of see that. Yeah, I could kind of see that. I you know what, the more I think about it, the more I actually think that's right. So like, I think I don't know how familiar you are with Machine Head, but like, to make this comparison, when if you listen to Bloodstone and Diamonds, which is the 2014 record from Machine Head, Rob Flynn, their singer, took like classical music lessons, and you heard a lot of that influence on their 2012 record, I think, that was called Under 2011 to 2012, Under the Locust. And then The Blackening, which is like one of the best albums ever fucking written, 2006 or 7 for Machine Head. If you listen to Bloodstone and Diamonds, you can hear a lot of both Under the Locust and The Blackening in Bloodstone and Diamonds. Now, the reason why I say that is like, when you listen to Death Magnetic, with the long songs and the songwriting, you can hear a lot of the influence of the Black album, Load and Reload, into Death Magnetic, but hear the length of the songs and the songwriting from Injustice for All, if that makes sense. Like, yeah, you can hear the progression of the band.
What album are you saying from them? From
Machine Head? Oh, The Blackening.
Okay, I'm looking it up right now. Okay, 2007.
Yeah, it cool. It had 7 or 8 tracks on it, but like,
if you listen to my list right now,
they're so fucking good. You will understand why I recommended that album, because like, I remember seeing, I want to say it was a Metal Sucks article, and you know Metal Sucks doesn't like anything. They had named that album like the best album of the decade. It was like between that and I want to say Mastodon's 2004 Leviathan. Like, I think those were like their top two, and both those albums are fucking solid.
Okay. Are you into POD at all? Were you in any of their stuff?
Yeah, I like POD.
Their first couple albums are ish. Like, their first album is super punky. It's really raw. Like, very, very punk.
Was that the one with Southtown?
No. That was like the third or fourth album.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah. They had, well, and they're another band that started out of that Christian, like the mid 90s Christian scene. So, I mean, a lot of their stuff's really, a lot of their deeper tracks are still very, very, very solid Christian stuff. So,
oh, no, that's fascinating. I actually didn't know that.
Yeah, they're really good, man. I'm a huge fan of them. I've seen them probably 5 to 7 times. I can't remember.
Seen them once. Oh, I saw them at Rock on the Range. Yeah. Oh, well, really? You know what? I'm pretty familiar. How long ago was that? That was 2012, I want to say. Okay, 2012 so or
that would have been around their Testify album.
Yeah, well, those I'm pretty familiar with the album that came out in 2010 or 12, and then the one that came out after that. It had Lost and Forever on it.
That's a great song. That's one of those albums that I was not like into at first. Yeah. And then probably about 5 years after that came out, I started listening to it and just fell in love with that album. It's got some really amazing guitar stuff on it. You got to go back and listen to like their album Testify is just amazing. That has some pretty big hits on that one. And funny enough, Katy Perry sings backups on like 2 songs on that album.
Oh, no way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's fascinating.
Yeah, they were in the studio. I think she was in the studio doing some stuff, and they went and grabbed her. I was like, hey, sing it. They knew her. I don't really know the whole story. Sonny talks about it a couple times in some interviews. But, sings backups on a couple songs. So
It just reminded me. I was talking about Four Today earlier. They actually did a song with Sonny Sandoval. It was Only One Name, I think. And that song is really, really good.
Yeah.
And then he also did a song with El Nino in 2020 or 21. Oh my God, that's going to bug me. Let me see. All or Nothing. All or Nothing by El Nino. If you
look that one up.
Yeah. Oh, it's so good. I'm kind of sad because, like, I'm sure you know. Are you familiar with El Nino?
No.
Oh, really? I think you'd really like them. They're kind of like that new metal. If I had to put it like they're almost like a heavier version of POD. So I think you'd really like them. They're very, very percussive. They have like 2 drummers. They do a lot of very, very new metal-y, like specifically their first album, super fucking heavy.
I'll check them out.
Yeah, and they actually had the longtime guitar player from Soulfly for their first 2 albums, I think it was, Mark Rizzo. But yeah, their first, really all their stuff's really good, but like their later stuff went a little bit more metalcore, but like their first 2 albums were definitely like that 90s metalcore of like, you know, the sweatpants and the dreadlocks.
Yeah, that same look. Yeah, so going back to POD, their first album was 94.
Oh, wow.
Snuff the Punk. Then they had Brown. Then a bunch of other stuff. But yeah, Testify is good. The one you were talking about, the Murder Love album, came out in 13. Yes.
Right.
The song Murder Love is about Jesus on the cross. Like, that's the song. If you listen to the song, it's pretty, really, really good. But they re-released an album, When Angels and Serpents Collide, I think. When Angels and Serpents Dance. The album came out, and they had one of the songs was off of Matrix movie. It was the second Matrix movie, I think.
I feel like I know the song you're talking about, but I can't think of it off the top of my head.
Yeah, I just put it away. So, but yeah, they were. I've always loved those guys. They're always super solid band. My wife and I saw them in New York when we were in New York working.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
That's where she lost like 80% of her hearing overnight. Like literally she lost.
Oh, no way.
Yeah. She lost her hearing. We went, the opening band was Flyleaf with a new singer. And we were standing on the main floor, kind of close, too close to the speakers. And I've done that 1,000 times and I can tell the difference now, but yeah, she had her ears rang for like a week and, she has hearing aids now because of that concert.
Holy fuck.
Yeah. So wear your hearing protections.
Jeez. So. Yeah. I mean, like last year, my wife and I went to a bunch of concerts. For perspective, my wife's favorite like musical group is Kelly Clarkson. Right. So she saw.
So we're dealing with the same. not that bad, but yes, it is very much that.
Well, like, one way that I knew I picked right, and I think I might have told this story on the podcast before, but if not, it's worth telling. Pantera had announced that they were, you know, kind of doing this whole tour. So, how are we all married to the same one? My connection kind of took a shit there for a
second. Is that your connection or mine?
Yeah, I think that was mine.
Okay, I was about to text you and ask if that was me or you.
Yeah, and then I see the little bars going up in the corner of the screen. How are we all married to the same woman? Okay, so Pantera announced their tour, and I was like, oh, well, we got to go see them. And the closest place they're coming to, I thought was New Jersey, but it was actually like Detroit. So I'm like, all right, well, you know, let's book the hotel and everything and let's go. So like a couple weeks later, they said, oh, well, we're going to continue like the tour without Metallica. So like the show that we went and saw in New Jersey was Metallica. It was... They did two nights out in New Jersey. So like Friday, it was Mammoth Van Halen, which is really good too. That's more just like normie rock almost, but still enjoyable. Mammoth Van Halen, Pantera, Metallica Friday night. And then Sunday night was Ice Nine Kills, Five Finger Death Punch, Metallica, which really good lineup. Like I know a lot of people throw Sons of Five Finger Death Punch. I like them, but so they announced that tour, and then like literally a week later, they're like, oh yeah, well, we're going to come to Pittsburgh, and it's going to be, you know, a Housecore Records, which is Phil Anselmo's like record company, a Housecore Records band opening, and then it's going to be Lamb of God and then Pantera. So, you know, they announced that tour second, and we already paid for everything for Pantera out in New Jersey. So I was like, oh, well, we'll just cancel everything out in New Jersey and we'll just go to the Pantera show in Pittsburgh. Cause like I could live without seeing Metallica again, but I have to see Pantera. So I told my wife that, and she texted back and says, well, why don't we just go to both? I was like, okay, we will go to both.
That's so awesome.
So, yeah, she, we saw Snafu, which was the Housecore band, and they were good. I haven't really listened to them outside of just seeing them live. And then like Lamb of God went up and she was like, I like the music, but I can't understand what he's saying. I'm like, I can, but fair enough. And then Pantera went up and she was like, I actually kind of enjoyed that. And I'll throw it back to you after this, but like we were walking out Friday night after seeing Metallica and Pantera. And I was like, all right, between the two, who do you like more? And like, this was like the guillotine is swinging above her head moment. And she said, well, Pantera. I'm like, we're good.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't mind seeing them live. That'd be kind of fun, but
yeah.
My wife actually likes POD. She likes Demon Hunter. Yeah. She likes Demon Hunter's more mellower stuff, not their super screamy stuff.
Yeah,
like their first album, she doesn't like.
Their mellow stuff is so good though. Like specifically, my wife said it was too sad, but when we were getting married, I was going to have Carry Me Down the Piano version, but she was like, no, that's way too sad. I was like, okay, fair enough.
Have you listened to the acoustic album?
Yes. Very good. 2022, oh my gosh. I think that came out.
That is probably their best thing they've ever put out. Like, that is just so magical. Mm-hmm. And then watch the live version, the one on YouTube where they did the whole, they recorded it all live.
Oh, no, I didn't watch that.
Oh, you need to watch that. It's beautiful. It's absolutely gorgeous.
Huh. So. Yeah, all their piano stuff and, like, acoustic stuff is so freaking good. Like, their Ryan Clark is the singer's name, I think.
Yeah.
And
if you listen to his other stuff?
Individual. What other stuff?
He has a band called, they just put out one album. It's called Knives, but it's spelled really funky.
Okay.
So I'll have to look that up. And then he has another album where he does like all, it's kind of like 80s pop-ish kind of stuff.
Oh, interesting.
I'm trying to think of one of the songs he covers is not Blue Monday, the other one by those guys. Yeah, he covers some like Depeche Mode kind of stuff and some other stuff on this. He has a couple. He has like two other projects he did, which I wish he would do more with those.
Nah.
I don't remember the name of the other one, but Knives is pretty amazing. It's pretty. It's weird. It's kind of mellow, kind of funky. Yeah. You ever listen to Death Therapy?
No.
Oh, they're pretty good. They're kind of techno-y almost.
Okay.
It's like,
you know what's funny is how familiar are you with Dillinger Escape Plan?
Not at all.
Really? Okay. So yeah. Their singer's name is Greg Puciato, right? Well, he did a band with Max Cavalera from Sepultura and Soulfly, Troy from Mastodon, and then I forget their drummer's name, but like that album, Killer Be Killed, 2014, fucking incredible. And then that's kind of what got me into like Dillinger Escape Plan and Mastodon. And Greg Puciato, if you listen to Dillinger Escape Plan and then listen to Killer Be Killed, you'd be like, what the fuck? Like, how did this come together? And then if you listen to The Black Queen, which is like techno music with Greg Puciato singing, it's so fucking good. But it's almost like 80s pop, like 80s techno kind of stuff. So fucking good.
I love 80s. Love that. The 80s like techno-y poppy stuff is so much fun. Like, you ever listen to like KMFDM?
No, so like this stuff I'm completely unfamiliar with, but like I would be so into listening to more of it.
Check out KMFDM.
KMFDM.
It stands for Kill Motherfucking Depeche Mode. Okay. At least that's the lore. I don't know if that's actually true, but it stands like they're 80s, 90s stuff, really just poppy, kind of really techno-y. They did a lot of covers too, but some good stuff. And if we're going back that far, like Sisters of Mercy stuff, like early Sisters of Mercy is amazing. Cure, so good. Like The Cure was probably one of the best of that style bands that I've ever seen or listened to. They were amazing.
Sure.
So I wish I could have seen them on this last tour.
Mm-hmm. 80s pop is solid. Love some yacht rock. You know what? The what the hell is it? Jimmy Buffett? I can't. I can't
do that. I can't do the that. Yacht rock, when he was dead, I was like, who is that? When he's talking about he died, I'm like, yeah, who cares? Sorry,
man. Well, yeah, you know what's funny is my band, I played like a stoner metal, like a stoner death metal kind of band called Wretched Hive. And what the hell was the one dude's name? It's going to bug the fuck out of me. He was I want to say like a pop music star. Not Johnny Cash, Eddie Money or something like that. Eddie Money? Was it Eddie Money?
I don't know. He did Two Tickets to Paradise.
Yes, Eddie Money. He was actually in Katanning, Pennsylvania, which is where this bar was that we were playing. And I remember people like in our group chat, they were like making Eddie Money references. I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about? And then he died a couple years ago. I'm like, oh, I had like no idea who it was.
Eddie Money, funny enough, he used to there's a venue here in Detroit area called Pine Knob, and I've seen hundreds of acts there, like really good acts. And he would open up every year. He would open up there in the spring. It was always Eddie Money was always the first one out there opening up. So I think I went and saw him once. I don't remember too much of the show. Told you what I was doing back then. But I remember going there, and I remember waking up the next day, but that was about it. I've seen a lot of good bands there, a lot of good acts. I saw Beck there. Beck was fun live. I saw Midnight Oil. They're phenomenal. Hate their politics. Musically, I think they're amazing. One of their best songs is Redneck Wonderland. If you ever get a chance to listen to that one, it's really good.
Okay.
Yeah. The video is interesting because the video is like this new dude running around Australia. I mean, like totally naked, like swinging and everything. Like, I was like, holy crap.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Well, like Zakk Wylde and Black Label Society, I've always liked their music videos because like their music's like, I don't want to say super serious, but pretty serious. And like you watch their videos and it's always something goofy. So like they did a cover of Ain't No Sunshine. And the whole music video is just them like running around with horse masks on. It's super funny, but like the cover's solid. Like you wouldn't, obviously if you listen to the music and then you listen to you watch the music video, you'd be like, what the fuck? And then they had a song, I think Room and Nightmares or something like that. It was like some kids dance party or something like that. It was real goofy stuff. But like Zakk Wylde just has like this really, really all his videos and even like his stories on Facebook or Instagram are all like just goofy stuff, but they're like music's super solid.
Zach Wilde was his first. Was he Ozzy first? Was he in? Was that his first big thing? Or
there was, I think he did a band before Ozzy, but it wasn't anywhere near as big as Ozzy. Ozzy, obviously. So yeah, it was like Ozzy in the 90s, well, late 80s into the 90s, and then he did Black Label Society, and I feel like I'm missing one that he did. He did his solo stuff as well. Oh, Pride and Glory before Black Label Society. So like Pride and Glory was more like country rock ish kind of 1997, I want to say. And then his solo stuff, I think that was like 1990 was where he did his solo album Book of Shadows, which is really good. Yeah, and then Black Label Society was 1998, obviously, till current day. And then obviously now he's doing the live touring with Pantera. But yeah, like he did a bunch of albums.
Is that who they got to play with them? Yeah, how is he live? How is the sound compared to
excellent? Excellent. So like you can't, what is up, Nuke? Good to see you, brother. You can't, Dime, right? Like yeah. There's nobody
that well, I'm just curious how you can even
there's nobody sound. Yeah, there's nobody that could replace Dime, right? But like the live show was still good, and like Zach nailed a lot of like Dime's riffing, but like Zach is a very, very heavy-handed guitar player. So like if you watch
different
playing,
styles, like night and day difference. Yeah.
Exactly. So like if you watch the way Zach plays, he beats the fuck out of the guitar, and like his, you know, very, very heavy-handed. You can even hear it in the way that he picks and the way that he writes. But like Dime, if you listen to Far Beyond Driven in particular, you hear like the legato playing where it's just like super smooth. But they did it good enough. Like, okay. It's still enjoyable. I still really liked it. And, you know, anybody that's a fan of Pantera will tell you that, like, hey, you know, everybody knew it was Z&D, right? Like, Zach and Dime were very, very good friends. So, like, if anybody was going to do it, it had to be Zach. Like, there's nobody else even in that world that could have did that.
It
right.
Fit. Okay.
Yeah, the tone was really good, too, because Zach has a real punchy tone. But, you know, obviously he used like tube amps, and then Dime used all solid state, which not a lot of people would really think about. Like the solid state amps didn't have the same punch as like a tube amp would.
Yeah,
but like
yeah.
That was the thing that was so unique about Dime is that like using solid state amps and Dean guitars, which Dean and Washburn, which Dean was mostly kind of like the shitty stuff that nobody really cared about. It's just funny that like, you know, Randall, solid state, Dean, all this stuff that everybody's like, you would never get a good tone out of that. Dime just crushed it with that. So like Zach's, you know, solid or tube amp, Marshall, active pickups. It's like complete opposite, but it still works for Pantera. And then their drummer is Charlie Benanti from Anthrax. And the reason why they did that is because like they always considered Dime to be the sixth member of Anthrax because he also like helped write some Anthrax songs. Like the album Stomp 442, he played on a couple tracks and helped write some of the songs. And he also, I think, sang in a couple Anthrax tracks as well. So Vinnie Paul really wasn't like the sociable person in Anthrax. He was more of just like, you know, the business end. So they kind of said, hey, Charlie's the guy because he played for Anthrax for a long time. So we got him to be a drummer. When I heard that, I'm like, I don't think he's going to be able to do it. And then I started watching the video. I'm like, no, he did good. Like he did very, very well being a thrash drummer, going to be like this power groove kind of metal. So yeah,
I dig some of Anthrax stuff. Like they're hit and miss. Like some of their stuff's phenomenal. Like, and this is where I'm going to get probably beat up, but like the song, like their song Indians, I think is the worst song they ever wrote. Like, it's an awful song.
Okay.
I don't understand why it's their most popular song. It's like, I don't know. I just, not a huge fan of that song. But like, some of their other stuff is amazing. And they did that first crossover stuff with the rap core kind of
stuff.
That was fun. But yeah, it one of those bands like that, if you put them on, I'm not going to complain, but I'm not going to seek out their stuff.
Sure.
So I've never understood why they got so popular.
Yeah. I think they were just kind of like their first couple albums Madhouse, Indians. I think their first album was Fistful of Metal back in 1982. Obviously, Slayer, Anthrax, Metallica, Megadeth were kind of like the, as we know them today, the big four of thrash metal. So Anthrax is kind of like the, they were the smallest one of the big four. And then Slayer had like a cult following. And then obviously, you know, Dave Mustaine being part of Metallica and then forming Megadeth was kind of like a big, you know, sequitur in that. And then Metallica is the biggest band on the face of the planet right now. So obviously they're like the number one.
What do you think of Megadeth stuff?
You know what? I've never been a fan of Dave Mustaine's vocals, but it fits Megadeth. And they've always had like incredible, fucking incredible musicians. I mean, Marty Friedman, Chris Poland, Chris Broderick, Kiko Luriero. I think I'm missing a guitar player too, but like all the dudes who played guitar for Megadeth, even Dave Mustaine, fucking incredible. But like, oh, drummers too, Nick Menza, Dirk Verburen, who's playing for them now. I can't remember some of the other people. James Lomenzo played bass, even though he plays for Black Label Society right now. He played bass for them.
I want to go see them. Like, that's one band I really want to see live.
I've seen them four or five times. I don't want to disappoint you, but not amazing live.
Yeah,
but it's definitely worth seeing just because it's like, this is like, if you're into music and heavy music in particular, it's like history.
Part of the reason I didn't go see them the last couple of times, they had Lamb of God play with them, and I can't see a Lamb of God. So
really?
Just don't
love
like
Lamb of God. Okay, yeah, I mean, I get it. If like, you're not into like...
There's certain bands I just don't want to, like, I have no interest in sitting through one of their sets and listening to them. But like I think the Dystopia album is probably one of their best.
2000 and I like
Super,
right?
Yeah, I like Super Collider too, which is probably their least favorite. I love
that album. That was like heresy.
Really good album. Like it's a fun album. So
yeah. I really liked 2009 Endgame. Head Crusher, The Way the Story Ends. That was their first album with Chris Broderick. I thought that was a solid album front to back. Really like that album.
Yeah. And then, and the early stuff is their first album is amazing.
Yeah.
Great album. You can really hear, I think in the first one, you can hear a lot of the early influences of like, because didn't he write a lot of the early Metallica stuff, wasn't he?
Yeah, so like the first, Kill 'Em All. And,
yeah, you can kind of hear that in there too. That's fun. Which Kill 'Em All is probably I wouldn't say my least favorite album by them, but I like Ride the Lightning better than Kill 'Em All.
Yeah, that's fair. I think the songwriting in Ride the Lightning was better. If you're looking for a little bit more just kind of raw energy, that's more Kill 'Em All. But I think their songwriting greatly leveled up from Kill 'Em All to Ride the Lightning.
Yeah.
I think that's the way it's with a lot of bands. Pantera's always stood out to me in that regards because like every single album was different, but different in like, you know, so you think... Obviously, they had like the first four hair metal albums back before 1990, and then 1990 was Cowboys from Hell. Well, that still had like a little bit of glam influence, but had some heavier stuff. And like the last track that they recorded was Primal Concrete Sledge, and that song was pretty fucking heavy. And then obviously Domination as well, which had like the OG breakdown back in 1990. And then you go to Vulgar Display of Power, which had, you know, Mouth for War, New Level, and then Far Beyond Driven was just over the top. And then Great Southern Trendkill in 1996 was just like, holy shit, just raw aggression. And then Reinventing the Steel was the last album that Pantera put out. And just fucking same deal, just loud, aggressive. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean they're good. Have you ever heard a band called Me Without You?
No.
Their first two albums are phenomenal. A B Life and Catch Frost the Foxes. I don't even know how to classify it. There's probably a classification for their first two albums. After that, I think they like took some weird turn and just got really odd. But their first two albums are really, really, really good. Kind of like that punk. But the guy, he's like, almost reading poetry instead of singing.
Uh-huh.
I don't even know how to explain it, but it's really good. So check them out sometime. The first one album, first two albums. So
Nice.
I think Catch for Us the Foxes is a better album.
Yeah, I'll have to check them out then.
Yeah.
All right, man. Well, we've been shooting the shit for about an hour and 10.
Cool.
Just purely about music, dude. I fucking love it. We'll have to do this again sometime, man. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, this is fun. We got to get Jay on next time, too.
Okay, yeah, dude. I totally be down for that. He was in the chat.
Yeah, he's awesome. So, nice. But yeah, he likes a lot of the same kind of style that we were talking about. But we should actually, what we should do is go listen to the albums that we recommended for each other and then come back and talk about those.
Okay, so yeah, I got Highwaymen, Colton Will, POD Testify, Ryan Clark Knives, KMFDM, and then Sisters Mercy. Those are all the ones that I got.
Ooh, Sisters of Mercy are fun, man. They're like really depressing, and the guy sounds like he has like super deep, heavy voice, but kind of slow stuff. Different. But they do a Stone song. They do Give Me Shelter, which is kind of fun.
Okay, I got you. All right. Well, then I will try to get all this shit in within the next week. I got to catch up on foreign policy stuff. And then I'm probably going to do some solo podcast. I'll probably do that on like Taiwan politics. Yeah, let me
know when.
And then, maybe in a, I do these every other week because my wife works and I try not to do too many podcasts when her and I can spend time together because our schedules are all fucked up. So
send me a text with your best, some of the albums we talked about. Send me. I got two of them, but send me some other ones, and I'll download those and listen to them.
Yeah, Jesus Christ! I know we threw a lot out there.
I know, like I got the two, but and I can find them if I go back and look, but I don't remember.
Yeah, dude, I got you. Go ahead, give your plugs, brother, and we'll get on out of here.
Oh, Fox and Sons Coffee and Morning After Podcast Monday, Wednesday, Friday, but it's always a crapshoot who's on when. So.
Nice, man. All right. Well, everybody, make sure you go to foxandsons.com, get the world's best coffee. I absolutely love their stuff. I literally drank a whole thing while we were sitting here in my Jocko Willink mug. Steve, until next time, man, we'll listen to some heavy metal and we'll definitely shoot this shit again. All right.
Cool. Have a good one, man. Thanks.
Cool. Take care, everyone.
It's lunchtime at Tim Hortons, and we're serving up a special deal just for you. Our new $5.99 lunch deal includes your choice of any lunch sandwich and a side of crunchy kettle chips. Because what's lunch without a little crunch? And the sandwich choice is all yours, like a ham and Swiss, Chipotle chicken wrap, BLT, and more, made to order just the way you like it. Tim Hortons' new lunch deal. Simple, delicious, and just $5.99. Now that's a good deal. Only at your neighborhood Tim's. U.S. only. Price and participation vary. Terms apply.